That's like something my mom would do, right?
I feel the need for speed. Ow!
Well, Maverick was in it for himself. Remember when he ran for president and everybody's like, this is the guy from Law and Order. This isn't going to work at all.
Young penis just arrived at my door.
Hello and welcome. We are back. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. I am, as always, your host, Brian Beckner. Very, very stoked you have become a part of the Baller Lifestyle family. You're one of us. You get it. You're one of these people. Special episode this week. You know, we do this once in a while. Every week, we bring you all... We're the sports show of record. Everybody knows that. We're the dong show of record. We talk about... We're the pop culture show of record. We talk about the things that matter to you and yours. But once in a while, we do something special, and we're doing that this week. We're doing another one of our infamous movie reviews. So, let me introduce you to the particulars. First and foremost, co-host of the program, Hoboken Zone. He's about to depart for Iceland, of all places. Of course, I'm talking about Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
Doing well. I'm excited to celebrate a 30th anniversary and Gay Pride Month at the same time.
Yes, exactly. We'll get into that. Also joining us, you hear him via theballerlifestyle.com on the Bachelor Lifestyle podcast. He's also been on the Baller Lifestyle multiple times. He is well known to many, many Tinder victims across the Los Angeles area, the LA Basin. He's done the 4-hour body, and I can attest the dude is looking svelte. Very, very handsome. He's a backdoor slider. Some might call him gorgeous. Of course, I'm talking about the great Jason Stewart. Jason, how are you?
Love it. I'm doing well, and thank you for having me back on. And I will say that today, the day that we're recording this amazing podcast, Stevie Carbone went on a national radio show and called me and the Bachelor podcast out.
And, interesting.
And then he said, I'll join your podcast in a month.
Wow. Steve Carbone, radio legend.
But the podcast got a national run today.
That's good.
It's a big day.
I really, really am stoked about that. And yeah, we're going to have him on the Bachelor Lifestyle Reality Steve, the world's first and foremost bachelor expert, is going to come on and talk about the Bachelorette. So look for that coming up. Also joining us, this is special because she's a diva. She's hard to book. This is someone that it takes. You have to do backbends and cartwheels. It's very, very, very difficult to get this person in studio. Mm-hmm. But it's always better when they're here. This is a person we had on. I think the last time we had on was to talk about 90210.
That's right.
And prior to that, we did another movie review with this guy where we talked about Karate Kid, where we learned about his deep distaste for one Daniel LaRusso.
He deserved what he got.
He is a legend in his own right. You know him from Travis Rogers Now on Yahoo Sports Radio, as well as a local show he does here in Los Angeles on ESPN LA. Travis and Kelvin and Travis,
yes,
in the morning, something,
yes,
like that.
No, that's it. That's right.
Yeah. Of course, I'm talking about the great Travis Rogers. How are you, Travis?
I'm good. I feel like I got billed last. It's kind of like an episode of the Brady Bunch where Ken Berry would adopted that Chinese kid and the black kid, and it was a Brady Bunch featuring Ken Berry.
Yes.
So this is like the Baller Lifestyle featuring me. I feel good.
It almost makes it more special.
Well, for sure. I believe they called him Oriental in that episode of the Brady Bunch.
I don't think they called him Asian. Back then.
No, I'm definitely not Asian.
Was Ken Berry also played the son on Mama's Family?
He did. And if you remember, Ken Berry in that episode of the Brady Bunch was a song and dance man.
Yes,
he had a cane and one of those straw hats, and he would wave at you when he was done.
And don't, please don't disrespect F Troop.
Was Canberry also
he
on
was
F Troop?
For sure, yeah.
And you know why Travis is, due to his reputation as being high maintenance and hard to book and hard to track down.
That's true. It's all true.
I gave him a nickname about 20 years ago.
That's Whiffet. Still sticks.
What does Whiffet stand for, Travis?
I know what that
says. It's what's in it for Travis. And it's really kind of not just a motto, but it's more of a creed that I live by. It's every decision I make is based on what's in it for me.
So keep in mind, whenever you need to ask Travis something, you have to ask yourself what's in it for Travis before you proposition.
Exactly right.
That's pretty much true.
I feel like my presence is valuable. I like to make you work for it. Yes, yes.
It's like when there were two sets of footprints in the sand, it was you and I were walking together. But then when there was only one set of footprints, I was carrying you.
I'd like to see that. Yeah, man, you work out and stuff, but that it's a big rock.
I mean, not more than like 5 or 10 steps. Okay, guys, we digress. The reason we all get together today is it's a celebration. It is a memorial. It is a special, special time. It is the 30-year anniversary of quite possibly the greatest action movie of all time. I'm talking about Top Gun. Flight school. Miramar. Who knew they could get so much
Fighter Town
story out of flight school? Not a lot of broads hanging out in flight school.
There was one who wasn't interested.
Just Navy men. Holy Navy men. Let's talk about it. And we can let me give you the particulars on Top Gun in case you don't remember. I'll just read from the Wikipedia. Came out in 1986.
Can we first of all talk about how this kind of came to be? Like, we got at tweets, right? We get at tweets for the podcast, and someone's like, "Why don't you guys do Top Gun?" I ran it by Ed Daly because he's kind of one of the content managers of this whole thing. Ed, what was your first reaction to Top Gun? Because I know you're the one who thought of Karate Kid. You thought of Soul Man. Each of those probably had a special place in your heart. What did you think when you saw Top Gun?
Well, I think we're a very open-minded show, and it was high time we did the gayest movie of all time. So it works. We're into this type of thing.
Yes, definitely. Let's talk about, well, first of all, I was 11 years old when Top Gun came out.
In 1986? Is that, okay, sometimes, okay, that's 15.
1986. All right. And this movie was such a phenomenon, such a juggernaut. It was so ridiculously popular. I think I may have mentioned on this show before, the movie theater near my house where I grew up, Costa Mesa, what up?
Go Mustangs.
The Harbor Twin on Harbor and Wilson. This fucking movie came out as a summer release. This movie played the entire summer at the theater. It never left the theater for maybe 16 weeks in a row. It was a massive, massive hit. I probably saw it 3 or 4 times. I didn't notice the undertones.
The subtext?
Oh, this was the biggest deal, this movie. Like, everybody thought it was the coolest.
It was a huge deal. Ed Daly, in New Jersey, was it the phenomenon that it was here?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I even after, like, when getting a videotape was a big deal, I had a friend that would just put this on after school every day. Like,
yeah,
I saw this movie way too many times when I was a kid.
I think that I was on the East Coast this summer. I was between 8th grade and high school, and I went to Syracuse, New York for the summer to stay with my grandmother. And so I was watching the New York Mets win 100 games, Ed, and I watched Top Gun a couple times. Fan. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. And then I had to run out and get the cassette. I mean, the soundtrack was as big a phenomenon as the movie.
And
I needed to play Take Your Breath Away while I made out with the New York chicks. That was my thing.
Wow. All the women in the Niagara Falls area.
Did they have Tinder back then?
No.
Oh, wow.
It was old school, 14-year-old walk-up and
ask. You had to get analog makeouts.
You know, I just realized something, and I didn't even put two together, that I want to say the first three movies that my dad, Bob Rogers, rented for the first Family Rogers VCR.
Yeah.
We have now covered two of them on the Baller Lifestyle podcast. The Karate Kid and Top Gun were two of the very first. And the only other movie I remember my dad running very early in our VCR life was The French Connection. Oh, like, he wanted us to see The French Connection. Popeye Doyle and my dad's a Gene Hackman man.
Yeah.
So he wanted us to see The French Connection. Well, that's a very good point.
That's a good collection.
Yeah, so we had the Top Gun, French Connection, and Karate Kid. So I'm guessing we need to do the French Connection at some point.
I remember the bringing a VCR into the home.
Yeah, big
was
deal.
Was just a huge.
And getting cable. Those were the two big ones. Yeah.
Yeah, it took a while for those to happen in my household. Okay, the movie, Top Gun, like we talked about. It came out in 1986, directed by Ridley Scott's brother, Tony Scott.
R.I.P.
Took his own life
somewhat recently, right?
Off the Vincent Thomas Bridge a couple years ago.
Yeah, poor guy.
It's depression.
It is.
The guys who I don't think get enough credit, because I just rewatched this movie last night. I stayed up late. I usually go to bed at 9:30.
Not always.
Last night I stayed up till nearly 11 to watch this movie. And I had forgotten how quotable this film is. It's nearly every line, you know, it is so in the cultural realm that you just know everything they're saying. Yes. And it was written by two guys called Jim Cash and Jack Epps, who are heroes. It starred, of course, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, it did.
Quite possibly the biggest movie star in the world from 1986 ongoing. It's 30 years in. This guy took a star turn in Top Gun.
Was this the one, or was it Risky Business that kind of sent him on the way?
I think that kind of stepped him up.
Yeah. I think this is what made him a superstar, right?
Okay.
I think it did. It was like, I remember him, he had a small bit part in one of my favorite movies, The Outsiders. But he made sure each scene he like sold it. I remember that. And then Risky Business, we got to see his girlfriend naked. Rebecca De Mornay, is that who it was?
They rode the train.
Taps, he was on Even Ground with Timothy Hutton in those days.
Oh, Taps.
Yeah,
that's right.
Taps. That's right.
Taps was his first movie.
But this was before Cocktail, before those others. This was the thing that launched him.
What's the one where he was
Rain
a football?
All the Right Moves.
That was after. All the Right Moves.
Lisa Thompson,
that wasn't a huge movie. It was good, but it wasn't huge.
It was definitely Top Gun.
If we start talking about Leah Thompson, this could get far afield quickly, I've got kind of a thing going there.
I saw her in Maui.
Uh-huh.
At a bar.
Uh-huh.
Not maybe like, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago.
Okay.
Lorraine McFly?
And she was drinking white wine.
Uh-huh.
And she was dancing on the dance floor.
Okay.
And I was taken.
Yeah.
But had I not been, I feel like I could have made something happen. Like, she was ripe.
She was thirsty.
She's like 50-something now, and she's the perfect amount of vintage.
She looks
perfect.
Good.
Perfect.
She looks good.
I've told Travis, he wasn't here for our Back to the Future recap, but Leah Thompson looks like Travis's wife, Susan. I've said that.
Wow.
I've been on record saying that.
You have said that.
Jason Stewart will take things to an awkward
point. No, he said that before. He said that before. She gets more Elizabeth Shue kind of stuff going on with her.
Yeah.
Probably a hybrid between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take. I like all three of them.
None of those are bad comparisons.
No.
It's not like, hey, you know your wife reminds me of Melissa McCarthy.
If Leah Thompson
kind of has an Elaine Boozler vibe.
Okay,
so the movie came out in May 16th, 1986, 3 days before my 11th birthday. It runs 110 minutes. The budget for this movie. These are 1986 dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Daly, Let's take a guess. Let's play a bit of Daily's Choice. Ed, tell me, what do you think the budget was for Top Gun? They had to get all these fucking jets. They had to get pilots. They had to get somebody in another.
There were a lot of jet. There were a lot of action scenes.
Yeah, they had to shoot this stuff from the air.
I'm trying to take some notes just to get an idea of what was going on. And there were long sequences of just jet pilot action scenes.
It's crazy.
I'm going to say, I mean, $86, it's tough to really know what that means. I'm going to still say it was like north of $50
million. Like, $50 million?
I'm going to say it was like $55 million.
Okay, let's nail you down. Don't be like Kate McManus and change your answer a whole bunch of times. $55 million is Ed's choice.
Jason Stewart seems high.
Jason,
they got the cast on the cheap, right? Cruise wasn't Cruise.
Yes, right.
Gilmore was already a known guy.
He had a star turn in Real Genius by this point.
No, he wasn't known.
I think Tom Skerritt was probably the highest paid actor.
Top secret.
Yeah, exactly right.
What do you think? I'll go $35 million.
Travis Rogers, you are in the catbird seat here.
All right. I'm assuming a lot of the jet fighting scenes were like naval stock footage that they didn't actually go out there and recreate fighter pilot scenes.
You don't think Tom Cruise went up and did those scenes?
No, I think that's interesting.
I have a feeling that a lot of that stuff was – I don't think they actually chartered an aircraft carrier to go to the Indian Ocean.
They had to get MiGs.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, computer animation had just started at this 80s. Point. I'm going to go far less. Jason, what did you say?
I said 30. 35.
35. I'm going to go slightly less than that. I'll go 30.
I have the number in front of me.
Yeah, we knew that.
The number is $15 million.
Oh my God. So I win.
Yeah. But in today's dollars, what do you?
It's 35 million, so
yeah,
I was right.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Jason, yeah. I just did
the cost of inflation.
The box office gross also in 1986 dollars. $356.8 million.
Oh man!
I mean,
how much did it cost to go to a movie back then? Was it $5.50? Like,
yeah, $5 or $6.
Does this include deductions for Tom Cruise to have to pay people off to not talk about his deals?
Yeah, I don't think that's in the budget. This was a non-disclosure agreement. This was a Bruckheimer Don Simpson.
One of them is dead.
Don Simpson is dead. Yeah. He was.
I think it was.
Dealed up.
He was the one that supposedly had those crazy Hollywood parties with all the blow and hookers and all that stuff.
Stop. It's annoying me that I haven't been invited to one of these parties. That seems like my kind of scene.
He threw the parties that are the caricature of a Hollywood party, only he really threw them.
I know. Yeah. I love it. Okay. Shall we talk about the movie?
Let's do it.
Okay. The movie starts out. It's very, very 80s. Everything about it is the fucking 80s. You turn it on and you're like, oh my God, I'm looking at the 80s. Beginning with the Kenny Loggins soundtrack. The movie starts out. They're in the air. They've been scrambled. Something's happening. They start out. They're on the flight deck of the USS Ronald Reagan or whatever it is at the time.
Lots of slow motion aircraft carrier.
Yep, overheads.
And they
fog.
Suddenly, there's an international incident.
Did we ever know who they were fighting? All they had were red stars. It could have been Chinese guys. MIGs. It could have been Russian guys.
They were very clear. It was a MIG. Russian.
I think
Travis.
It was always Soviet.
Yes. The Chinese guys fly MIGs.
It's very clear. It's a MIG. That tells everybody what it is.
No, it's not. The Chinese guys fly MIGs too.
Yeah, they buy them from the Russians.
Right.
So they're up overhead. They get in an international incident, and Maverick and Goose, that's Tom Cruise, and Anthony Edwards, the only guy that didn't take his shirt off in the volleyball scene.
Well,
they are flying with their buddy Cougar and Merlin, and Cougar turns out to be a huge pussy.
Hold on too tight, Brian.
Right out of the gate, we get a Nuclear Loosh sighting.
Yeah, that's right.
And Principal Strickland.
Yep. That's right.
Well, I mean, isn't Merlin, is he Tim Robbins?
Yes.
Merlin is Tim Robbins.
Nuclear-ish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nuclear loop.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Principal Strickland from Back to the Future is like in charge of the...
He's the captain admiral. Of the... Yeah, are they, yeah, is such, an admiral?
I don't know.
Such range on that actor.
You just stole my joke. I think I mentioned in the Back to the Future podcast, he plays the exact same character. Which movie was made first? Whatever was made first.
Back to the Future is 85.
So Tony Scott said, just be that principal.
Yeah.
We're gonna put you in uniform and be Principal Strickland in uniform.
Early on, we set up the fact that Maverick is, in fact, a maverick.
Yes.
He doesn't play
aptly
by the rules.
Named.
He doesn't play by the rules.
Goose, there they are, right below us. That makes it perfect firing.
He flips his jet out. Also, they call their jets planes a lot, which I feel like the...
That's like something my mom...
Yes, yes. In the actual Navy... There's no way the captain calls you into his office and goes, you had a $30 million plane. You're driving a $30 million plane. No, it's a fucking jet. They know the terminology.
Or no, they would call it by its like technical.
Right. F-16, whatever it is.
Yeah, this is,
I feel like they would call it a bird on the deck or something. Something, you know, shorten it up, make it hotter and cooler.
Make it edgy and cool.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. As you land your plane on our bird.
Yes. So weird. So Mav flips the bird, and Cougar, and this is a theme that we see throughout.
Cougar was the guy that got run over by Christine in Christine.
Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, what?
Wow,
God.
Nice. Wow, that's a deep pull.
You guys in your knowledge of the
80s. Deep pull.
Hey,
and Jason Nolan was the guy that owned
theme,
Christine.
I hope you're going to say sweat.
What's that? Oh, yes.
Everybody is dripping
sweat. Yes,
and...
Ed, you're a genius, because this is what I was going to say. Cougar's face is covered with sweat the whole time. And throughout the movie, people's faces are so sweaty, even in scenarios where they didn't need to be sweaty.
I may be jumping ahead here. They're holding on pretty tight. Yes. And they're really denying themselves. And when you're in the throes of denied passion, it builds up heat.
And they're...
I like how Cougar was so... holding on so tight that he had to rip off his oxygen mask to get off.
Yes. Well, they do that quite a bit throughout the movie, so you can see their lips move. They pull off their mask to talk when it really seems to make more sense to communicate if they had their mask on everyone could hear.
They've had this technology for like 40 years. Yes. Like World War II, they were able to communicate with the mask.
So Cougar freezes up. They have an international incident with the MiGs. Cougar freezes up, and Mav, everybody's running out of gas. Mav has to fly back up there, and this always drove me crazy, and I would like you guys to speak to this. In retrospect, the whole helping Cougar land scenario was insanely stupid, right?
I don't know.
Because what did he say? Easy? Or he says, like, steady as she goes. Like, he doesn't give him, like, actual
advice.
No,
he pulls up and he's like, anybody see an aircraft carrier around here?
But, yeah, I mean, if you take it in the literal, like, how does he being up there in his vicinity help him fly the plane?
And I remember thinking this, like, when I was a kid, like, what, like... The wing wash, like you could just follow it down.
Yeah, it's not like NASCAR.
Was that
NASCAR?
Drafting.
What was it called? You're a NASCAR guy. What do you call drafting? It's not like it makes it easier on the guy behind you. Like him being up there does what? Like why was he able to get the guy's confidence back?
Yes, it was.
And also, Goose has a fucking kid. Fuck you, Maverick.
Yeah.
They're running low on fuel. Like, this guy's got bigger things to worry about than Cougar, who's sweating.
Well, Maverick was in it for himself. I think when it's all said and done, we all understand that Maverick was about Maverick, and he could give a shit about Goose's kid or Meg Ryan, his wife, or any of that stuff.
I don't know. Where are you picking up on this? Because I don't think at no point in the movie did they constantly remind us that he was one of the most talented pilots we've ever seen. But he was reckless.
Yeah. He's a maverick. Yes.
I wish
he
would have reminded us and gotten the theme across a little bit more
was
often.
Was his dad in the Navy?
And he was flying against a ghost up there. Yeah.
Was that what was going on?
I do like that when Nuke LaLoosh was in the Rio seat and his analysis of why Cougar was, he goes, that Mig screwed him up real bad.
Yeah, yeah. Right under the bus. He threw him right under the bus.
And wouldn't you figure that given a really dire situation, that the guy in the back seat might be able to land the damn plane? I mean, he's up there given some sort of basic training.
Also, why can't they talk to the aircraft carrier? They can only talk to each other while they're up there, like, hey, buddy, I'm just right next to you here. We can talk now. But meanwhile, the people down on the aircraft carrier are like, hey.
Principal Strickland was freaking out.
Who are also,
God damn it,
extremely sweaty. The aircraft carrier, no air conditioning.
Those things are nuclear powered, yes?
Yes.
Yes, I would imagine they could turn on the air conditioning. It's not like they're going to run out of juice.
They got all the power they need.
That's right. To get that thing cooled down. I would imagine those machines run hot. Keep them cool.
Also, a lot of sunglasses indoors beginning on below.
Blind people and assholes.
A lot of shit happens.
The two people who wear sunglasses inside.
We got Ray Charles on the radar. A lot
of things happen below deck on ships.
Well, the boat's rocking. Yes. And you're not, off duty.
Not a lot of broads.
No.
Got to do what
it's
you
bad for
do.
Morale.
Kind of like me to prison. So these guys come back. Mav saves the day, sort of. He's got to meet with Principal Strickland, and Principal Strickland, who likes to smoke cigars indoors.
Wait, before you get to that,
yes,
we see that Cougar quits.
Yeah, right. Yes,
he turned in his wings. I believe is the technical term.
In the hall, and he goes, "Thanks for helping me out, Maverick," and walks by Goose.
Yeah,
Goose could have died. That well.
Right.
Fuck you, Cougar, and fuck you.
Yes. Also, Cougar still really, really sweaty when he walks out. He turns in his wings.
Had a bad day.
I'm pretty sure they don't allow you to do in the Navy. Like, you sign a contract and you're like, I'm in the Navy. You don't just walk in one day and go, hey, boss, I quit the Navy.
Maybe he became a cook or something, like a seaman or something. You know, because they did invest a lot of money in training how to fly that airplane.
Spent a lot of money to teach those little 5'7" guys how to fly airplanes.
Badass 5'7" guys, right? Yeah.
So you don't just get to
go. How pissed were those guys when they got cut from the basketball team? They're like, I'll show you. I'm going to fly a jet, and I don't care. Volleyball cut me, soccer cut me, basketball cut me. It all comes back to who gets cut by
what. Hey, dickhead, you don't realize I have really good fucking eyesight. Like, better than 20/20.
Yeah. And I fit.
Yes, and I can do that. Right. I'm either going to go race NASCAR or fly a jet.
Yeah.
So Cougar bounces. He's sweaty. He turns in his wings. He's still kind of breathing hard.
Oh, he lost the edge.
Yeah, did they usually have debriefing meetings 12 seconds after they land the plane?
Yeah.
Everybody is still dripping with sweat from this.
Why is Principal Strickland still smoking? He's smoking a cigar below. He's smoking a cigar in his office. I mean, there's no ventilation.
He's the captain. He does what he wants.
Very weird. So he comes in, and he really gives Maverick and Goose. Goose is Maverick's Rio, by the way, that he really gives them a dressing down, and he utters the iconic phrase, son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash. What the fuck does that mean?
Iconic line. One of the first of many in this movie. And I mean, that scene to me is fascinating to me for so many reasons. Like, he begrudgingly tells them that was the bravest yet dumbest thing you ever did. You're flying a $30 million plane.
Yeah.
But you're going where?
Yeah.
Going to Top Gun.
Yeah. But first he tells them, you're going to find yourself flying rubber dog shit.
Out of Hong Kong.
On a plane out of Hong Kong. Which, let's be honest, it's a pretty good gig for a pilot. Like, that's not...
risk.
You fly jets in the military, and then you get just a regular job after. You don't
Southwest.
Yeah, you fly Southwest. You fly American. You UPS. There's a lot of piloting jobs, and that's the kind of job you get. You fly some rubber dog shit around.
And it's I would guess that something like dog shit would not need to take air travel. That would probably go on a container ship.
Well, it's
right. So it would probably gotten them angrier, but. it might have been a good time to point out that they don't fly rubber dog shit.
That's it's more like laptops and like important shit.
Things that they need to get there quicker.
Yeah. Lobsters. That's produce.
Even like Mercedes Benz
takes a boat.
They take a boat. Like most
rubber,
shit gets
rubber dog shit is evergreen. You don't need that tomorrow.
No, that's a really good point.
Doesn't that scene in the captain's office feel like it would have been a better scene if former Senator Fred Thompson was a part of it?
What? Yeah, was he?
You gotta think he was just busy doing something else because he was definitely the first call.
Okay, because it feels like that scene was written for him to give the begrudging respect, yet I'm going to give you the opportunity of your life.
Also, you make it like Fred Thompson was a senator and then an actor, when it was really the opposite. He acted as a senator the whole time, and then they're like, we should just make this fight.
Remember when he ran for president and everybody's like, this is the guy from Law and Order. This isn't going to work at all.
Yes, it didn't work.
Yeah. The Russians don't take a shit without a plan.
That's right.
So we, Principal Strickland lets these guys know. He's like, hey, you guys are huge pieces of shit, but you were number two. Cougar was number one. He turned in his wings. He's out. That makes you guys number one. He goes, I can't even believe I'm doing this. This is crazy. But I'm going to send you motherfuckers to Top Gun. You're going to Miramar. And it was like, then there's this like musical interlude and the whole thing.
But you know who gets really fucked in that scenario? Poor Tim Robbins.
What yeah.
You? Yeah, that's Marlin. True. Yeah, couldn't they make Merlin Mavericks Rio? That's a really good point.
Although, is that like magic and worthy, though? Once you develop a chemistry, you true. Really can't that's just kind of just parry off with anybody.
And well, I don't know, am I ever going to feel sorry for Merlin? He went on to spend many nights with Susan Sarandon's breasts.
Oh, yeah.
Susan Sarandon, I was never really into her.
Oh, my God. I'm still into her.
Me too.
70-year-old gilf.
Yeah, I just looked at her. She's
good gilf, potentially.
She's 70 years old, and she looks fucking great. Amazing.
She looks great.
Oh, yeah.
She looks great.
She looks fantastic.
Yes.
So they go, they bounce to Miramar, which is in inland San Diego.
How did he get his motorcycle there?
Really good point. Was he stationed there?
Yeah, I mean, also, of a sudden he's got a ninja.
And this is
why was he on the runway? This is riding his motorcycle. Like, I was imagining, because they're showing jets taking off and landing, like, hey, we've got a flamboyant little guy on a motorcycle. Should we take him out? I'm not sure what he's doing. Yeah. He's pumping his fists a lot. Yes.
Definitely pre-terrorism.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're not allowed to get that close to a runway. But, yeah, he's down there. He's got his flight jacket on. He's racing jets. He's really, really stoked. And all of a sudden, this movie takes a turn. Because the very next scene is the first moment we're introduced to the flight group. There's a lecture. There's an orientation. Jester. Who?
Michael Ironsides.
He's got a thick Canadian accent. Do we allow Canadian
Total Recall?
Yeah. Do we allow Canadians into our armed forces?
Longest undefended border in the world.
Yeah, well, I don't understand. This guy's saying against over and over, and I'm like, hold on. This is taking me out of the moment. This guy's Canadian. Jester is lecturing the new recruits. This movie suddenly takes a turn. First things first, they're all on, like, it's like an opium den. Inside the room where they're taking lecture. Here we see all the pilots in their Rios. And they're all on big leather couches relaxing.
Right.
And
sensuous.
And Slider, we'll get to Slider later, because Slider has a deal more than any other guy in this movie.
He's the dreamiest of all the guys.
Yes, he's the fittest. But he has the most appetites. But Slider.
No. There's one guy who has a bigger appetite.
Oh, okay, hold on. You save it. Slider's basically snuggling Iceman the whole time. He's got his arm. They're on a couch. Slider's got his arm up around Iceman, and Iceman is staring at Maverick, trying to flirt with him the entire time.
For those who haven't seen the movie, Iceman is Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer,
who to me, is the star of the every single scene he's in. He steals.
He definitely does. And then Wolfman and his buddy are
that's like, the one I'm talking about.
Yes, they're chilling on the couch, And Wolfman leans in. Everyone's got frosted tips except Mav in this movie, and they're like getting a lecture from Jester, and he's like, "Hey, you're gonna fly." He's giving them the heads up. Hey, it's an orientation. You're gonna fly a couple missions every day, and you're gonna take classes, and we're gonna, you know, give you a score.
In Korea, we lost 1 point for every 19.
Yes, and Wolfman leans in and expresses to his Rio. He goes, "This is giving me a hard on."
And the other guy like acknowledges like that's a totally normal thing for him to say.
I watched this last night. He responds. You don't have a cough button?
No, I don't.
He responds, "Don't tease me." And all of a sudden, I'm watching a different movie. And this is not the movie I saw when I was 11 years old. All of this went past me at age 11. Jason Stewart, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, maybe what the first, if not an early indication that there are so many homoerotic references in this movie. But yeah, shocking. your instant shocking response to your partner saying this is giving me a hard on is don't tease me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more than overt.
My response
writing
is, I need a new partner. I don't think
yes.
Well, wasn't this illegal in the Navy in 1986?
Yes, of course it was. Oh, it was.
Meanwhile, Slider and Iceman are reclining behind them, and Slider's got Iceman in a full snuggle, like holding on to him.
An embrace.
Also, Iceman is doing a thing, a very phallic thing. He's got a gold pen, which have not been a thing since the 80s. And he's
was it a cross pen?
He's doing that thing. It might have been a Mont Blanc.
He's like a baton twirler.
He's doing that thing where he twirls it between all of his fingers, where he runs it from side and back
that was
to
the other. Big trick back
and
then.
He's looking at Mav, and he's basically like jacking off his pen. And he's like waiting for Mav to look back, and Mav's like chewing on something, and he looks back.
Of course,
back.
He's an oral fixation.
Yeah, and he looks back and he's like, "Oh yeah, okay, I see where this guy's at." Yeah.
Is this not the first also that we see of a very disturbing trend in this movie of jaw clenching? Like they want you to see the muscles in the jaw.
Jaws.
Yeah.
I've been in contentious situations before. Like you get in an argument, it's part of life, it happens.
Yeah.
But I've never like punctuated my argument with another person by clenching my jaw or snapping my teeth at them. And it seems like in the Navy, this is how they settle conflicts, is who can snap the most. Yeah. It's an awkward situation. I don't think I would have done well. I don't think I would have liked the Navy.
No, it doesn't seem like your place. And it's just weird to look at Iceman because he's totally every movement he makes towards Mav, he's saying, "I want to hate fuck you."
Can I go back for
can
a second?
You be my power bottom.
Jason brings up an interesting point that he said the movie is got a number of homoerotic situations. I would contest that by saying the number of non-homoerotic situations are much fewer than the ones that you're mentioning. It's nothing but homoerotic situations.
There's a light sprinkling of hetero in
this. Exactly.
Barely any.
Yeah, it's even not sexy. It's not subtle. There's nothing about it that makes you think, "Oh, okay, that it's just like, oh, well, okay, this isn't what I thought it was going to be, but okay, it's 1985.
I would argue that the only obvious heterosexual in the movie is Goose.
Yes.
And he dies. Spoiler alert.
The writers are like, "You know what? He's having too much heterosexual sex. We got to kill him."
Yes. He survives.
Are we questioning Viper? Viper seemed like he was on the other team.
Seems like
somewhat hetero. Did you see that mustache?
And when he went into the bathroom when Mav was trying to shake his demons, and then he said, "If you need anybody, call me."
Yeah.
Like, not call me to go on the boat and fight. Right. Like, just call me.
Yeah. No.
Just call me.
And hey, he said that secretly away.
"I can help you." Yeah.
He said that very secretly away from his, and we're getting way ahead of here, but his overly attentive wife.
Right.
Oh, hey, Maverick.
Yeah, they met? That was very weird.
Okay, we'll get to that later.
She's repressing her. She got into something she didn't know what it was.
Young penis just arrived at my door.
It was weird that they knew each other. We'll get to that, because the very next scene is the most spot where I felt so duped.
Well, hold on a second. If you skip the iconic line, the iconic lines that the at that first meeting where Chester is laying this whole thing out, yeah, and the hard on line.
Chester.
Chester, that's what I meant. Yeah. And one of them said something about the trophy in first place.
Yes.
And then, of course, Iceman's partner says, hey, guys.
Slider.
The trophies for second place are
in the ladies' room.
In the ladies' room. Yeah. That's a great line.
And then Goose is like, no, you spell Goose with two O's. It was a very awkward, super gay.
Trying hard.
Yeah, super gay.
And this is where Maverick, like, establishes first. Is like, I'm looking around, and Goose is like, what are you looking at? He's like, I'm trying to figure out who the best one is. That's a big thing early on, like, who's the best?
As you could tell by looking.
Yeah.
Like,
but that's a big thing in 80s movies, right?
Yeah. Like,
Roadhouse, we had to know the best bouncer in the world.
Yeah, like, right.
Every movie had to establish the best.
Ed, do you mean cooler?
Dalton.
Cooler.
Because you said bouncer, and I'm like, what? I don't even know what that word means, because I only know coolers.
We need to move on to a different topic, because if we wander into Roadhouse territory, I'm going to go on a Ronda Rousey round, and I hate her, so we're going to need to move on.
Uh-oh. Oh,
yeah.
Well, she's a fantastic
fighter.
What's wrong with
career record of like 8-1?
Thank you, Ed. Yes. Thank you, Ed. Ed is the only person that understands this. She was being declared as the female Muhammad Ali. What, she was 12-0.
Yeah.
And then she got her neck kicked off by some tomato can. What? And I'm not doing this.
I thought the chick that kicked her in the head was a boxer. Like, how come if you're such a good boxer, why are you kicking people in the neck?
It was a pretty good kick.
Yeah, she kicked her right in the jugular.
It worked.
Yes, it was effective.
She hasn't fought since.
So we find out that the trophy for the second place is in the ladies' room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. No. We're moving on.
And then we moved on right to the next scene.
The next scene is one of maybe the most iconic scenes in film history.
At the bar.
And what night is it at the bar?
They go to the bar. Ed,
what's the sign out front?
I was shocked by this because there's a sign out front. Telling, and you've heard of the nights at the bar, ladies' night.
Mm-hmm.
There's
2-for-1
service industry night,
karaoke night.
Yeah, there's all sorts of nights. Ed Daly, I was shocked by this. What night was it at the bar that all the fly boys went there?
Animal night.
Animal night. What is that?
That's code.
What does that mean?
What the hell is animal night?
It has to be code.
Some kind of sort of
code. Best be wearing your chastity belt, women. Animal night.
They roll in. It's animal.
And it's never explained.
No, it's not. It's just,
no one's in an animal costume.
It's just a shot of the front of the bar, and it's in quotations. It just says animal. There's a sign. There's like a tent sign.
Maybe
says,
they're animals.
Yes.
They become animals.
Yes. Iceman's an animal. Slider's an animal. They roll in, and Mav, super hetero, also the shortest of the group by far. Wow. Like, they didn't. Now in Tom Cruise movies, they have him stand on an apple box the whole time. But back then, they just like, what?
It's like an HBO fight.
You're not a known guy. Oh, that's so fucked up. But it is kind of weird how his waist is always like at Roy Jones' chest.
Right.
And it is kind of weird.
And I don't know. And Travis has family in the military. Do you have to go out in your navel? Do you have to go out in your navel whites? Can't you just go out in a nice outfit, casual outfit?
Also, I've flown with many, many private pilots.
Yes.
You can't fucking get wasted the night before you fly a plane.
No, it's against the law.
It's illegal.
Yes.
But
yes.
Do you have to go in your Navy whites?
I believe that there are rules as to what uniform you need to wear in which situation. If that were an officer's club on a base, then yes, you would need to be in your dress whites.
I think there's a provision for animal night, though.
Well, maybe that is the uniform for animal night.
Trav, who's watched many episodes of MASH, is pretending that his familial relationship with the armed forces gets
Oh, by the way, MASH is officially off the list now because Klinger would be cool in the military now. We decided today. That's today. It's like Klinger's fine.
Travis, let's not let your political views.
I'm a very liberal, open-minded guy, but I'm over that.
Continuing, they're at the bar. Mav cruises in with Goose. Mav almost makes it to Goose's shoulder, and Goose is like 5'11", maybe.
Yeah, we find out in ER that he's a very average. Yeah,
he's one of the towering god compared to
he's a normal guy.
And Clooney in ER was like towering over Goose.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like imagine Clooney with Cruz.
Yes.
That redhead in ER wasn't bad.
Cruz rolls in and immediately announces, because he's such a poon hound, this is a target-rich environment. And they
compensation.
They really want to establish that Mav is a real slayer. He really gets in there and does work. But then they rally up with Slider. There's Iceman, and he's macking on some chick, and he's like chewing his ice and drinking his drink. What's he got on? Sunglasses.
Right.
Yeah, he does the indoor sunglasses a lot.
And his henchman Slider has to make the introduction. Like, Iceman wasn't going to make the introduction himself.
Yeah. Slider's like, don't you know, this guy's the best of the best.
Have you figured it out yet?
Have you figured it out yet? And Goose says, like, oh, something's the biggest or something. And Slider's like, yeah, so's my Johnson.
Johnson, that's right.
Also, like, from now and forever, I'm going to call my dick my Johnson. Because that's like really the best name for it.
You should get one of those T-shirts.
Yeah, I have a T-shirt.
Big Johnson. Injection is nice, but I'd rather be blown than have a picture of a boat.
Yeah. What I liked about the entire T-shirt line is how subtle it was.
It really was. Never really got it. Yes, Big Johnson fire hoses.
Yeah, baseball bats.
So then they get they're hanging out, and there's like lots of poon in the bar. Like there's lots of 80s bitches hanging out, and they got bangs, and they're blow dried up, just like the chicks in New Jersey that Ed sees all the time, and it's like it's like a real 80s smorgasbord, and all of a sudden Mav keys in on some vintage broad that's probably the 30th hottest chick in the place.
Well, right.
And he announces to his buddy Goose.
Hold on a second, hey, Brian, hold on.
There's nothing. No, I've missed nothing.
No, you have missed the reference of all references.
Yeah.
It's subtle, but if you watch it back, it makes all the sense in the world now. The bet that they make is you need to have carnal,
right after he sees it, right?
Carnal knowledge
of a woman.
Of a woman this time.
Of a lady this time.
Of a woman or a lady this time.
Yes.
I mean, come on. Yes. They were telling the world in 86. That Cruz was playing for the other team. I thought that was a bold move.
Yes, that was very bold.
But by the way, can we just state the obvious here? And I understand that we've covered this a lot at this point, but that they had to specify of a woman.
I know.
Carnal knowledge, if we all went out and said, well, you know, hey, carnal knowledge, would we specify? Time. I don't think we would specify.
Yeah, we wouldn't need that.
Right.
I don't think any of us. If you're out with your gay friend, carnal knowledge means one thing.
Right. Exactly.
But we're missing the whole. This is the star turn of the movie.
Yes.
Maverick's move is to score a mic from somewhere, plug it in.
Score it from somewhere.
Yeah. He's
well, it was Animal Night. There's plenty of mics.
Every bar just has a mic ready to go.
Yes, he's somehow plugged into the PA, and he starts singing.
The Righteous Brothers.
Kelly McGillis. The Righteous Brothers. Well, you've lost
that feeling. Yes, ideally, it's an oldie, but it's the mid-80s, so that's like singing a song from 20 years earlier. So I was thinking it would be the equivalent if somebody went up to a girl in the bar and was like, all right, I'm going to sing some Chumbawamba.
No, there's that entire scene is it's rife with inconsistencies because he's desperately trying to get with the least attractive woman in the bar with a song that is terribly antiquated. They specify that it needs to be with a woman, and yet Iceman is over in the corner with his glasses on, working in ice water like a serial killer. He's over there in the corner not saying anything. Like if you walked into your place tonight and you saw a guy in the corner drinking an ice water with glasses on, just silently staring at a woman, if you see something, say something. That's the phrase, right? Yeah. So that's what you'd have to do. You're calling the police on Iceman.
That's what they tell us at the beginning of every movie now.
Yeah.
If you see somebody that's suspicious, tell
if you see something, say something. It's kind of racist, but...
No. But, I mean, the thing too, is that's what I thought, too. It's like, how did they know there would be a microphone? He admits that he had done this at least once before. Yeah. There's just a microphone laying around. And then he sings to her. She's obviously impressed with it or not impressed with it. And that's when we have the first scene of any minority, first of all, the first scene of Sundown being dismissed for his race.
And we talked about Maverick being the perfect call name. And then there's Sundown.
Sundown.
Yeah, that's super
He took
racist.
Over the second verse and nobody acknowledged
it. He's black.
Yeah.
And wait,
he's the computer nerd from Die Hard.
Yes.
Oh my God.
You're right, he is.
You, all three of you, have such an encyclopedic movie knowledge.
Well, okay, I've made an encyclopedic error.
Yeah.
It is Sundown. It's always under the impression that Hollywood was the black
Hollywood
guy.
Rolls
Sundown.
With Wolfman.
Come on.
Hollywood's
right.
A white guy.
When the sun goes down, it gets dark.
No, yeah. I understand.
So it makes a lot of sense.
Yes,
here
we go. Sundown's the only one that rocks the mirrored aviators.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's doing it. But it is a little weird that he cruises in after.
I know.
Like,
who is he singing to?
Yes.
Yeah, like what's the end game for him? He's just singing.
Yeah.
It's another example of the man keeping the 80s black man down.
Yeah, it was.
He's lucky that, by the way, that Sundown wasn't the one that got killed. It's just nothing short of a miracle.
Yeah,
true. Because that's kind of the formula.
That's a good point.
You're a pilot.
That's right, a naval aviator.
So, Mav, he tries to make a move. He does a very awkward thing by following a chick in the bathroom. Like, this is the pre...
That gets you sent to jail.
This is the
You're skipping.
Yeah.
We see... She first turns him down. Before she goes to the bathroom, she turns him down because she's got another date. She brings the drink back to the date.
Perry.
Which made me think, who is this guy that's like, oh, I know a perfect place we can go. Let's go to Animal Man, a place where all these naval pilots go. Be a nice, quiet evening.
That's great.
Fucking horny Navy pilot.
She would have been safe anywhere. It was at Animal Night in the Officers Club.
I'm 52 years old. I really like this girl. I want to impress her. Let's go to Animal Night on the Navy
with
base.
With a bunch of 25-year-old pilots. Perry. So he follows her into the bathroom. He tells her he wants to slay her on the counter. The whole thing is very awkward and seems like it would be the end of any type of spark or relationship. But, of course, she's into it, and we think, oh, we're never going to see her again. This is just an interlude. The next day
– wait.
Yes?
But there's another scene where they show he's looking down on her. And she's sitting down in that scene on the counter.
Yes.
On the sink, and he's standing up. And
no
he's
way.
Clearing her. He's clearing her by like an inch, and she's sitting.
Well, and he kind of like shakes the table like, well, this will be good. Like, it's sturdy enough to handle his assault.
Well, and she's a bigger woman, you know? Like, this is not...
Call sign Charlie.
She's not a waif.
Charlie.
Yeah, and Charlie's just, coming.
Interesting casting. Like, we should talk to Don Simpson, R.I.P.,
well,
Jerry Bruckheimer about how
the
ghost
of Don Simpson.
I don't think they really put a lot of thought into casting that role.
No.
I think the other parts were much more important.
So the next day, they're sitting there. All the guys are sitting there. They're getting a lecture on how they're going to fly around that day. And
hang on. And there's a guy sitting there wearing a cowboy hat at an official meeting.
Yes.
Yet another sign that they're up to something.
Yes.
Well, that's a remnant from Animal Night.
They can all smoke wherever they want. Like, guys just have lit cigarettes in the middle of naval flight training.
Yeah,
very weird. But what's his name's got a cowboy hat on. They're all
Wolfman.
I think that might be Cowboy. Well, it would one make guy's sense. Called Cowboy.
Yeah, sure.
I believe that's Cowboy.
So you got to wear a cowboy hat.
So they're hanging out, and Jester's like, we bring civilians in here to tell us what's up.
Do not salute her.
Yeah, you don't need to salute her.
But the Pentagon listens to her.
But she still has a call sign, Charlie.
Now you'll also be trained and evaluated by a few civilian specialists. Civilians are here because they are our very best source of information on enemy aircraft. One of the most qualified is our tag rep. Call sign Charlie. She has a PhD in astrophysics, and she's also a civilian contractor, so you do not salute her. But you better listen to her, because the Pentagon listens to her about your proficiency. It's all yours, Charlie.
Thank you.
Also, Charlie's a bad guy. FYI, like, if Charlie's there, that's the guy you want to kill, the man in the black pajamas. Like, you don't want, it's a worthy adversary. You don't want to fuck with Charlie.
Yeah, 15 years ago, Charlie was the enemy.
Yes, so all of a sudden, Charlie's got a perm and she's working for Boeing.
That's can we get into Charlie, the nickname? Like, there wasn't any pretense. Like, it wasn't like the night before they were like, dude, it sucks. We got to go to school tomorrow and Charlie's going to be running it. There wasn't any, like, we assumed it was a guy, but it became a woman. It's like... Yeah. The introduction was chicken heels, and her call sign is Charlie.
Also,
what's the pretense?
Why did she need a call sign? She wasn't going to be.
She's a civilian
flying. Just call her name's Charlotte. Yeah. Just call her Charlotte.
Wasn't there a perfume called Charlie in the mid-80s? Yeah. I feel like maybe they were trying to capitalize. Good like point. It's a woman, but she wears Charlie, so we'll call her Charlie.
Yeah. So Jester's got his Canadian accent. He introduces Charlie, and then Charlie and Maverick.
Where's Charlie? That was the song.
Yeah, they call it Charlie.
Right.
Yeah,
it had a lasso on the bottle. If memory serves,
it was the kind of perfume you get at Save-On.
Right. I think I got it from my mom Mother's Day one time.
She probably still has it. Charlie comes up and she's like, here's what a MIG can do, and we've learned that it can only do Mach 2 and it can only do a 5 meg dive.
You can't do an invert or something.
Yeah, and Mav's like, ooh, hold up. That's not true.
Hello. We will be dealing with F-5s and A-4s as our MIG simulators. Now then, as most of you know, the F-5 doesn't have the thrust-to-weight ratio that the MiG-28 has. And it doesn't bleed energy below 300 knots like the MiG-28. However, the MiG-28 does have a problem with its inverted flight tanks. It won't do a negative G pushover. The latest intelligence tells us that the most it will do is one negative... Excuse me, Lieutenant. Is there something wrong?
Yes, ma'am. The data on the MiG is inaccurate.
How's that, Lieutenant?
Well, I just happened to see a MiG-28. We happened to see a MiG-28 do a 4G negative dive.
Where did you see this?
That's classified.
It's what?
It's classified? I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
Lieutenant, I have top secret clearance. The Pentagon sees to it that I know more than you.
Oh, ma'am, it doesn't seem so in this case now, does it?
All right.
Let me hijack the rest of your presentation.
Do it.
That was her. No. I'm saying that's essentially what he did, because she said three sentences and then it was just a conversation and then they're like between the two of them and then it was like, all right, we're done.
That's exactly the note that I made. It was an introduction. She said something that was wrong and then they're like, all right, we got to get going, guys. We got a training mission. Let's go.
So, Lieutenant, where exactly were you?
Well, we started up on his 6 when he pulled through the clouds, and then I moved in above him.
Well, if you were directly above him, how could you see him?
Because I was inverted.
Bullshit. No, he was, man. It was a really great move. He was inverted.
You were in a 4G inverted dive with a MiG-28?
Yes, ma'am.
At what range?
No, about 2 meters.
Well, it's actually about 1.5, I think. He was 1.5. I've got a great Polaroid of it. And he's right there. Must be 1.5.
It was a nice picture. He wasn't half.
Thanks. Lieutenant. Like what were you doing there?
Communicating.
Keeping up foreign relations. I was, giving him the bird.
You know, the finger.
Yes, I know the finger, Goose.
I'm sorry. I hate it when it does that. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
So you're the one.
Yes, ma'am. All right, gentlemen, we have a hop to take. The hard deck on this hop will be 10,000 feet. There'll be no engagement below that. Move it!
Also, at the very end, she closed it off, and she's like, so, you're the one.
Yeah, well, like, not the only one.
Like, he's the one that pulled the fucking sword out of the stone. Like, right. Yeah, he flew his fucking jet. Like, he's been trained.
He executed his training.
Yeah, exactly. And it was a big deal to her.
You were holding up international relations. Yeah. Just giving him the finger.
Yeah.
Thank you, Goose.
And by the way, again, you know, just like I'll call out the wife later for being so familiar with Maverick. How is she so familiar with Goose? When he says, you know, the bird, and she's like, yeah, Goose, I know. Yeah. How? How? Does they have name tags? That's
a really good point. She had not met Goose yet.
Yeah, well, Goose.
But no, remember, Goose kind of did that weirdly awkward introduction at Animal Night the night before?
Also, they had like a move where they like slap, hey, right. Excuse me, oh, and they slap each other right. On the chest.
Well, yeah, what was that? Was like really a fake about. Fight or something?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it was a fake. I think it's called foreplay.
Because they're fly boys.
Yeah.
So then they have their first hop.
Well, you've skipped the part where they were inverted.
No, they just talked about it. The inversion happened at the beginning.
Well, we were inverted. Yeah. Now.
Well, and that led us to Iceman, who's desperate to fuck.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Bullshit. Yeah. That was one of those things that you carried with you through high school. Like, everyone would do that. Everyone got that from Top Gun. And you'd be in ninth grade algebra, and somebody would be like, bullshit! They go up on their first hop. They're flying against the MiGs. It's Maverick against Jester.
Indeed it was.
We go below the hard deck.
I was going to say, the key word in this scene, it's the same deck. With the hard deck.
10,000 feet.
Below the hard deck does not count.
Throbbing hard deck.
Yeah, but yeah. By the way, another euphemism, by the way.
Did you know they made Charlie perfume for men?
I didn't know that.
Travis has been Googling Charlie perfume while we've been doing this. But Travis,
he's trying to find some back orders.
I'd like to walk down these random roads. Yeah,
while you're doing Charlie perfume, I just said that, do you think that's a euphemism being below the hard deck?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
I don't think it was a euphemism. I think it's right out there in the open. This is all just very open. Just let's go.
Mav has a dogfight with Jester.
Right.
And where he uses his signature move, the old hit the brakes and he'll fly right by. Yeah. I feel like all the rest of the guys would know that you could just fucking turn off the power to the jet and go up.
Yeah. Something like tells me that doesn't work.
I don't feel like he's the only guy that knows, hey, we'll slow down and go up real fast.
They'll fly right by us.
Yes. Ed Daly, do you have thoughts on that?
No.
Okay. Cool. Thank you, Ed.
Fair enough.
So there's a... So there's certain rules of engagement, supposedly.
I dropped my headphones by mistake. It fell out, and so I just heard, do you have...
Nice. So supposedly 10,000 feet is the hard deck, whatever that means, and...
Also, they're like chasing each other, and Goose is like, hey, Mav, watch out for those mountains. I feel like that's like number one rule.
Yeah. Hold on, let's go back.
Look out for mountains.
In San Diego, we're all familiar roughly with the geography. Yeah. There's no 10,000 foot mountains in San Diego.
Here's another thing.
Right?
Here's another thing. This is, I mean, we can get to this right now. They're in Miramar.
Yeah.
And everyone lives.
Where is that?
It's in San Diego.
But it's inland.
Not much. It's, what is it, 30 miles from the ocean?
Yeah. Okay. Everyone's got an ocean view, and they're like, hey, we're just hanging out in Miramar. That's not at the ocean.
It's not La Jolla.
It's off the 805. It's between the 805 and the 15.
It's on your way to the Charger game.
Yeah, it's by, like by the San Diego Zoo.
Yeah.
It's like not by the water.
But it's also not near the water.
It isn't, but there's no way...
There's no 10,000-foot mountains in San Diego.
There's no way that Viper is walking out his front door and looking at the goddamn water.
Well, he's an officer.
Still.
And one of the moves when they were flying At one point, I think Goose said something like, watch the mountains, or be careful of the mountains.
Just said right, that. Right. We just covered this. And the,
that was when my headphones were out.
That's going to be the theme of this podcast. My headphones were out.
Yes.
By Ed Daly.
Okay. So
no, they're in now.
So my guy, Mav, he chases Jester, but Jester, bit of a bitch.
Yeah.
He knows he's caught, so he goes, oh, I'm going to go below the hard deck.
Yeah.
Probably not the first time Michael Ironsides from the Alberta area has been below the hard deck. So Mav kills him.
Yeehaw! Jester's dead. What? This bullshit. Didn't everybody?
And afterward, they're in a locker room.
Amazing scene.
This is one of our first locker room scenes in this movie. There's a lot of scenes where dudes are just wearing towels.
Oh, apparently, so good.
Apparently, when you're in the Navy.
But still sweaty.
Yeah. Well, because it's almost like a steam room.
Yeah, it's a sauna with towels.
Also, I don't think it's this scene, but it might be the next one, where Sundown is like in his towel, chilling on. He's sat up on the counter like where dudes shave and whatnot, and he's just kind of hanging out. He's got his boots on. He's wearing a towel and his boots and just hanging out. And Slider is the most aggressive of all these guys. And we'll get to that when we talk volleyball later. Slider, he's just hanging out in his underwear. Like everyone else has a towel on. Slider's got his whitey tidies on. Nothing else.
Yeah.
I feel like he's peacocking it a touch because, and let's be honest,
he might be put together.
Can we read into this just a touch? Yeah. Look, he and Iceman have a relationship. Yes, he's Rio.
They cuddle.
So they have a relationship.
Yeah.
He feels that he's losing Iceman to Maverick.
Yeah.
He understands that Iceman is starting to wander, that he has this certain unfinished business with Maverick. So he feels like he needs to strut to keep Iceman near him. That's why he's doing what he's doing.
He's peacocking.
He's got the plume out, and he's saying, look, this is what I have going on. Right. He's threatening Iceman or threatening Maverick, and at the same time trying to keep Iceman close.
Yeah. So
you got to read the subtext, Brian.
I see it.
Okay.
I didn't see it when I was 11, but in my 40s.
At 11, this doesn't.
I watched it last night, and it's got a whole new subtext.
And I guess if you go back to his call name, Slider, what is he sliding in?
What's sliding into him?
Oh, I don't think there's any lube. He's not a gentleman.
He's a no Vaseline man.
There's no need for lube in this movie. Everyone's sweaty and wet to begin with.
That's true.
The most lubricated movie.
We're in the locker room. There's loads of sexual tension in the locker room.
It's an amazing scene.
There's everyone.
But it reaches an apex.
Yeah. They're Maverick and Iceman, who have had tremendous sexual tension throughout this movie. They have an encounter, and Iceman is not down with Maverick's style. He doesn't like him because he's dangerous.
I feel like we're missing something here, and maybe not missing, that's not the right word, but one of the things that was interesting, it was one of the few times in the entire movie where one pilot addressed another by their given name and not their calls, and he says,
Kazansky.
What's your problem, Kazansky?
Yeah.
and it wasn't Iceman, it wasn't Maverick, right. It wasn't Slider, Mitchell. Hollywood Sundown. Kazansky. It was, what's your problem? Very disrespectful, because in the flight school, in the place, that's, you talk about your call signs.
Kazansky.
And Kazansky is a breach of etiquette.
Also, are we to know that Kazansky's from Illinois? Like, I feel like it's a Midwestern name.
Yeah, maybe he's denying it because what he wanted to get done would not have worked in the Splains.
Yes.
There's a lot of Polish meat packers in Illinois and Wisconsin.
Wow. Jason's
meat packers. But that scene, since we're on it.
Green Bay Packers. He calls them meat packers.
What's your problem, Kazansky? And then the essential comment and theme of the movie is, you're my problem, you're unsafe. Nobody likes to fly with you because unsafe.
Every time you go up in the air, you're dangerous.
You're dangerous. Yeah. That's right. Ice.
Yeah.
Then he goes back to the more colloquial Iceman. I feel like there was a break in etiquette.
He says it in a subversive way. He goes, "That's right, ice."
Yeah.
And then he takes a real long beat. You guys know about that, right?
No.
Because you guys used to work for a guy that does
long beat.
He goes, "That's right, ice man."
That's right.
What was the goal there?
Yeah, that's weird. Good question.
What was that beat? What was it?
That was really weird. He took a beat there and he goes, "I'm dangerous."
I am dangerous.
And this is like a sexual thing. And then all of a sudden, and you're like,
chomp?
Then you're like, "What's Iceman going to do?" And then he takes his big old teeth and goes,
"Yeah."
He chomps him.
He goes
Ms. Pac-Man on him.
What the fuck was that?
You know exactly what it was. It means if you misbehave, I will punish you.
Yes. Yes.
It's like, look, well, we can do this the nice, pleasant way
or the rough way. Yes.
The Navy way.
Was he hinting he would like to bite a pillow?
Oh, interesting. Okay. That's it for part one of episode 128 of the Baller Lifestyle podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. Check back with us next week to hear part two.